Getting sober requires a lot more than mind over matter, a lot more than willpower. It's about leveraging the support around you. People in recovery typically need a mix of medical help, emotional support, and changes in lifestyle to manage their addiction, not just mental determination. As both a therapist and someone embracing the recovery lifestyle, there's one tool I always recommend to people needing extra accountability: SoberLink. SoberLink is a high-tech breath analyzer system designed to help you get and stay sober. And here's why I love it. You'll test the same day every day, eliminating testing anxiety. Friends and family receive instant test results, helping you rebuild trust and preventing relapse. Accountability is a part of that, and it's something to really be embraced. Devices have built-in facial recognition, so your support circle knows you're testing, and tamper-resistant sensors flag any attempts at trying to beat the system, so your sobriety is never questioned. So let 2024 be your best year yet. Visit soberlink.com/TAM to sign up and receive $50 off your device. That's soberlink.com/TAM. And let accountability be your guide.
It's Patricia Karpus, host of Untangle, the award-winning podcast that covers topics like optimizing brain health, finding your purpose, how to sleep better, harnessing the power of anxiety, successfully changing habits, finding more happiness and joy, and overall, all the many ways to live your best life. If you enjoy hearing from thought leaders, neuroscientists, psychologists, nutritionists, business leaders, and more, join us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Addicted Mind Plus, the podcast where recovery, mental health, and wellness take the front seat. I'm Dwayne Osterlund, and joining me is my co-host, Eric Osterlund, known for his insightful work on the Stuck Brain podcast. In each episode, we'll dive into actionable small steps to help those in recovery journey further along the path to wellness. Our conversations are designed to be concise, typically around 15 minutes, though we may occasionally delve deeper when the topic demands it. Our goal, to provide you with practical advice grounded in real experiences and expert insights to empower your recovery journey. So whether you're on a break, on a walk, or just taking a moment for yourself, join us as we explore the many facets of recovery and mental health, one small step at a time. This is The Addicted Mind Plus, where your journey to wellness gets an extra boost. So let's get started. All right, everyone, welcome to The Addicted Mind Plus. Today, we're going to talk about first order change versus second order change. To understand the difference is going to help you see what changes in your life can really help you. Because often we get stuck in first order change. It's the more things change, the more they stay the same. And we're going to look at the difference between first order change and second order change.
Absolutely. This is exciting because it gives us a way to visualize the concept. A lot of people don't realize that there's two types of change. And so they start with the initial change, but they don't make a deeper change.
And I think a clue when you're stuck in first order change is that you're making changes in your life, and they might be good changes, but they're not really moving you forward. They're not really moving you to the place you want to be. So you feel stuck. And recovery is about that second order change, which is that deeper level of change. Sometimes when we think about first order change, you can think of a person like running on a treadmill, running in place. They're running and they're moving and they're doing things, but they're not really going forward. When we look at first order change, it's like those surface level adjustments that we make to try and improve our life, but they exist in the current framework. So we might modify our behavior, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but they don't really help us move on that deep level. And they focus a lot on the immediate symptom management.
Yeah. And the reason why knowing the difference between first order change and second order change is important is because if you're at a spot in your recovery, you might not be ready for that second order change. You might be in a spot where you just need to be on that treadmill and get through some of the hard things in the beginning in order to get to the second order change.
And I think people have to realize that if you're really going to have long-term recovery, you have to move beyond the first order change. So oftentimes, when we look at first order change, we're looking at things that deal with
the immediate. I'm going to just stop drinking, right? That might be a good thing, but that might just be a first level change in the sense of I'm just going to stop. I'm just not going to drink anymore. That's it. I'm done. And I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to do anything else. And although that's good, you're not going to maybe get to that deeper level. You're not going to get to that underlying roots of the addiction so that you can change it.
And keep it long term, right? Usually the first order is great in the beginning, but if you want it long term, you're going to have to dive in and create some second order changes. So this is where you might develop a plan, you know, and we talked about this in one of our episodes, the stages of change model,
right?
Where let's say you're in the planning mode, you might want to think about this logically. So, okay, I'm going to just stop drinking right now. I'm going to have some things set up for me in the beginning. I'm going to not have alcohol in my house. That kind of stuff is first order change. But then once you get through the withdrawals or the hard part of it, you want to start thinking about what would cause me to have second order change. So maybe pick up a therapist. Maybe pick up a coach, because these are going to be ideas and ways you can process what's keeping us stuck. So if you just focus on the first order change and that's all you do, that might work for a while, but eventually I feel like that's going to collapse and you're going to be back to pre-contemplation and contemplation that we talked about in that other episode, episode 4, if you guys are interested. So it's important to think about these in stages.
Yeah, I think without that deeper level of change, the risk of a relapse really remains high because the core issues of addiction haven't been resolved.
Yep.
And although we need to make some first order changes to maybe get going, if we really want to change the system, we've got to make these second order changes.
Absolutely. A second order change is I'm drinking because I have anxiety. What do I have anxiety about? Let's dive into this. I go to a social party. I'm having social anxiety. It causes me to drink. And if you start to attack more of the problem, you'll have longer lasting sobriety, if you will, or a better quality of life around the substance.
Yeah, it's a fundamental transformation. So first order change is really about this top level behavior change. It's about doing those things that you might need to do, the behaviors that you need to change, but it doesn't start to transform the underlying reasons. Like you said, I think the example you mentioned, anxiety, what is my anxiety about? And then you can begin to alter those beliefs. You can alter those patterns, those emotional responses, and you're changing the system.
Yes.
And that's really where you want to go. You want to get into that mode of second order change. Because that's where you see people in lasting recovery and personal growth, because they changed the whole outlook, the whole dynamic that goes with their addiction. And often I see that in people, because when I'm talking to someone or working with a client, you can tell when someone's made that second order change. There's this deep response to what they're going through. And they're looking deeply at themselves and the situation that they're in, and they are making the steps to change that whole belief system.
Yeah.
It's really where I think genuine healing takes place.
And what I like about this, knowing about first order and second order change, is if you're right in the beginning of your recovery, let's take alcohol, you and you haven't gone through withdrawals or you haven't stopped drinking, you can't go straight to second order change, right? That's kind of like putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
You actually have to get some first order changes in there. Okay, I'm going to have to talk about alcohol withdrawal. I'm going to have to probably get the alcohol out of my house. I'm going to have these manageable things in the beginning done, and then I'm going to go to second order change. And sometimes they can happen together, but it's better if it's kind of chunked out into stages. That's what I've seen a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I've seen as well. And I think it's really important to understand the difference between first order change and second order change, because I think you can incorporate those into your life in a way to understand, oh, this is what I'm doing here. I'm doing first order changes. I might need them to help me, but how do I get to these second order changes? And if I really, really want to change on a deep level, how am I going to do that? How am I going to get to the underlying stuff that is driving my addictive process? And that's often where you don't just go to therapy. That could be, you know, going to therapy, getting a therapist could be a first order change. digging in and healing your past trauma or emotional pain that's unresolved, that's going to be that deeper second order change. And that's going to have the lasting impact that really pulls you out of that addictive process, that addictive thinking.
Absolutely. So let's give our listeners some examples of first order changes. What would that look like?
Sure. So I think some good examples are just stopping drinking like we were talking about earlier, maybe attending a support group, changing a routine to avoid triggers. These changes don't address the underlying roots of addiction, but they do help you, right? So you need this first order change, but you really want to get to that second order change.
Yeah. And these first order changes usually cause enough sobriety that you can start to get into those second order changes, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes, not always. But if you're heavily drinking or heavily using your substance, and then you go to therapy and you're like, I want to get to my second order changes, that's harder to do because you're under the influence.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to need these things in place to help you get to that second order change. But I think a lot of times what happens is first order change is a little easier in a way. We don't really have to look inward deeply to maybe deal with that pain and that hurt. So often we go to first order change first. And I mean, that's why we call it first order change, right? We go to it first.
Yep.
It's doesn't take as much work in a way, but it doesn't lead us to that deeper element where we move past the addictive process. When I see people and they've done that second order change, you can tell they're comfortable in their recovery. Not that it's easy, not that it's just like, oh, I don't worry about it anymore. It's a comfort with doing the work. It's a comfort with being in that space of personal development that allows you to really look at yourself and dig deep into it to understand yourself. And you can see that in people when you talk to them. I don't know if you've experienced that, but there are certain people you meet and you can say, oh, this person has done their second order change work.
Absolutely. You can see it. And what I like about that is there's not really a time frame on that. Like,
no,
I know clients that have been sober for 10 years and they still haven't really dove into the second order change. And then I know clients that have only been, you know, substance free for maybe 2 or 3 months, and they feel like they've really dug into the second order change. And that's what's kind of interesting. It's not necessarily time. We're not saying the second order change, you know, it happens in 2 years or it happens in 3 years.
Right.
It's more of a mindset. Like, okay, now I need to start working on why this is happening, and I need to start working on this second order change. So developing a sense of curiosity about your emotions, going to therapy, coaching, whatever it is to kind of bring that stuff to the surface so you can work through it. And so you can have lasting sobriety if that's what works for you, or lasting fulfillment around whatever you're doing.
Yeah. And getting to that fulfillment is about recovery. When I look at recovery, I see it as building the life that we want, that we can feel good in, that we can feel satisfied in, that we can feel contentment, we can feel connection, we can feel joy. And if we've had trauma in our history, I think it's going to be a little bit harder to get there. And you're going to need that second order change in order to find it.
So second order change could look like healing your past traumas through therapy or coaching, or I like to call it investing in relationships and in community. Right? I think the key term is investing. You want to invest in these things because they are going to pay off. That's a second order change.
Yeah. So let's talk about facilitating second order change. How do we get there? What do we do? How does that manifest itself? Well, I know one thing. It takes more time and a dedicated effort. When people engage with me in therapy, I can tell that they're starting to do that secondary work. When they're bringing material into the session, they're saying, I want to explore this. I have this idea that this piece of my life is not working for me, and I want to understand it. And they'll go into it and they'll talk about it. They'll be active in it.
Yeah.
And I see them putting in that effort to change how they show up in the world. which is contrary to the person who I see stuck in first order change. Although they want to change, they don't dig into the depth of it. And so they don't get to the second order change. They get stuck in that first order level of work. And I think sometimes that's because doing that second order change can be scary. It can be overwhelming. Because if you're going to dig into yourself, you got to look at your past. You got to look at your pain. You got to look at your hurt, your grief, your loss. And who wants to do that all the time? It sucks.
It's difficult. Yeah. So a key advice there would be, if you're feeling that, like you're feeling like, I need to change something deeper. There's something deeper going on. I think the first piece of advice is get a third party.
Yeah.
I'll leave that up to you. If that's a therapist, a coach, whatever that is, get a third party so they can start finding your blind spots and putting that into your open area.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like you can dig in on a deeper level to be able to understand yourself better. And you get that feedback. You the parts of you that you can't see, you don't know them. And someone else who's compassionate, kind, and is there to support you can help you on that journey. I mean, that's why I love like joining a support group and really actually digging into the support group. There's a lot of people that go to the support group on a first level modality or a first level change, and they go and they show up and they listen and they get a little bit out of it. And then I see the people who are like, here, I'm going to share and I really want to get feedback and I really want you to tell me what's going on, and I'm really going to dig in and learn from the experience. And that's that difference between those two kinds of change when I look at it in that context.
So let's do this. Let's recap everything we talked about so the listeners know exactly what to do next.
Awesome. I think that's a great idea. So we have first order change versus second order change. First order change are the behaviors that we do to deal with the situation in front of us immediately. It's not necessarily about digging deeper into our life or understanding the underlying cause. It's about handling the situation in front of us and just making change on that level. Second order change is about looking at the roots of the addictive process or whatever our issue is, resolving the underlying system that creates the behaviors in the first place. So it's a deeper level of change. This is that fundamental shift. And if we want long-term recovery, my belief is that you have to dig into some of the second order change to be able to really change the programming of ourselves, change the program so that we show up in the world differently. And I think that gives us a better space to be in the long run. So when you're out there and you're listening to this episode and you're thinking about this, ask yourself, what are the second order changes I'm working on today? What can I do to get there? How can I dig deeper?
Absolutely. And if you're stuck, that's a good cue to be like, maybe I need a third person. If I can't answer that question that you just asked, Dwayne, maybe this is the part where I get into therapy, coaching, whatever it is.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice. Real quick, everyone, as I was editing this episode, I decided to create a worksheet to follow up on this episode so that you could explore first order and second order change in your own life. So the link will be in the show notes or on theaddictedmind.com/plus. Check it out. We hope this episode was helpful for you, and we hope that you can think about first and second order change and make those changes in your life that are going to work for you. And if you're getting a lot out of the Addicted Mind podcast, please leave us a review in whatever app you're using right now. We'd really appreciate it. That would be awesome. And if you think this episode is good and someone could benefit from it, share it with them. Share it with a friend. We'd love that as well.
Yeah. Please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts because that helps us get found. And if we get found, we can help more people. So we appreciate all the reviews that we've gotten.
All right, everyone. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.
See you on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning into The Addicted Mind Plus. We hope today's episode has brought you valuable insights and a small step to support your journey in recovery, mental health, and wellness. For more information about this episode and additional resources, please visit our website at theaddictedmind.com/plus. And if there's a topic you're eager to hear about or a question you'd like us to explore, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at theaddictedmind.com and let us know your thoughts. Your journey is important, and we're here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, take care and keep stepping forward on your path to wellness.
It's easy to blame ourselves for our struggles with alcohol. We see people around us being able to control their drinking without any consequences, yet no matter what we try, we can't seem to figure it out for ourselves. My name is Jillian Teets, and I am the host of the Sober Powered podcast, where I use my biochemistry background to explain the latest research in addiction and help you understand both why you drink the way you do and how to develop the skills and mindset you need to find freedom from alcohol. I discuss topics like why we think about our drinking 24/7, why we have no off switch, and why we crave alcohol. If you're struggling with your drinking or you know someone who is, then I hope that you will check out the Sober Powered podcast. New episodes every Friday. See you there.